And now it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Must be Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. I have not been on the radio in some time. Those of you that are regular Jobline listeners are probably wondering, all of a sudden, how did Scott wind up on the New York Islanders? No, I'm not playing hockey. They do have the Islander game on almost every Saturday for the next couple of months more. So I'm only going to be on sporadically until the hockey season is over in March. And then we'll be back to full time. So if you've been missing me, write to me at scottp118@gmail.com. Let me know what you'd like to talk about. And we'll be happy to have you on the show. Over the next 2 to 3 months, I'm going to probably be doing about 4 or 5 shows. So tune in every Saturday to see if I'm on. And I will be pretty much on every other week for the next couple of months. And then once the Islanders are done, you got me 100% all over again. So we go into our 6th year here on radio, I just wanted to stop for a second and tell you a quick story about what not to do, about how not to find an internship, how not to find a job, and so on. You've heard me do this many, many times. We just about had an intern to start with us in the winter. And it wasn't until December 29th that the intern informed me that he could not get a car and could not show up at the studio, which is the number one thing he has to do. Why he waited that long, I don't know, but basically prevented me from finding a winter intern. So I want to say right over the airwaves that if you as a parent or know someone, if you're a college student or know a college student that might be interested in a radio internship live on the air, these are very rare to find, please get in touch with me. Send a candidate directly to me. My email address is scottp118@gmail.com. So we're looking for an intern and we'll continue to look for the rest of the season until May, when it'll be a lot easier to find one. So that's the update. I had pretty good holidays. Hope you did too. Hope you enjoyed the everything. Hanukkah, Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And then we all had to go back, unfortunately, to work on Thursday for many of us, which wasn't very pleasant. And this is the first real week of the season. So I want to, you know, send out a shout out to all the listeners who are really loyal to us and would like to make sure we're on every week. And don't worry, we're still here. We're just waiting for the Islanders to get through with their schedule. So we'll be back again every other week, pretty much. So keep tuning in. Today, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. What better subject for the beginning of the year and our first show of the year? And joining me on today's show is only my favorite guest, one of my most loyal, one of the people that's been with me for the longest, way back on television, numerous Radio Jobline shows, a fantastic person, a great author. A fantastic author that writes about healthy living and nutrition, and she does stress management, stress relief management, and does workshops and so on. And she's also practicing her own YouTube channel. So, Margaret, give us your bio.
Yes. Hi, Scott. First of all, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You know how much I love being on your show.
I appreciate
love
you having
it.
You.
And nice to hear I'm your longest, not your oldest.
Right.
But thanks for having me again today. Yes, I am Margaret Marshall, and I am an international speaker. I am an author of 2 books. I blog for the Huffington Post and also for Thrive Global. And I do corporate wellness programs all over the place, all over Manhattan and Long Island and Connecticut. I do television. I do healthy cooking segments on Good Morning Connecticut in Connecticut. And I just love what I do. I love working with people, and I love to see them change for the better. And I know we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions today, which is all about change.
All about change.
And we're going to talk about that. So, and all good.
My biggest thing is always weight, right? And I think a lot of people, I'm sure there are some stats on this, but I'm going to say more than 50% of everyone's New Year's resolution is to lose some weight.
It is the number one New Year's resolution.
There we go. The number one New Year's resolution. Now,
year.
Margaret, you may remember that I had this problem and I stuck to it and I've kept the weight off. So I have not gone down to the weight I wanted to, but I did lose 20 pounds.
Good for you.
And so I'm still very happy about that. It gives me a sense of joy every time I look in the mirror.
Isn't it amazing?
It's certainly worth doing because you get all the gratification that comes afterward.
Not to mention the health benefits.
Right. But not everyone is as successful as I have been with this particular diet. And most of my life I've had difficulty with weight. Mm-hmm. And also with, you know, with jobs, with, you know, straightening out things in the workplace that have to get straightened out. Otherwise, it's going to lead to another year of aggravation.
Right.
So there's all kinds of work-related resolutions. Sure. But we can focus a little bit on health, because I think being healthier, being in better shape, eating better, losing weight, all these things are great. But Margaret, we lose our resolve after a couple of months. You know, people are not good at keeping New Year's resolutions. So today, we're hoping that you can tell us, you know, what the secret weapon is for doing that.
A couple of months.
Yeah.
It's a couple of days.
Yeah, a couple of days. I've seen it in
a couple of days.
I know. I was just being nice.
I know. Well, you know, I love the people who can follow through. But the people who can follow through are the ones that don't make the New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. They decide what they want to change, and then they realize what steps they have to make to make that. My headphone just fell off.
That's okay.
To make that change.
Right.
So it's all about following the steps and making a daily promise, a daily renewal to yourself, mm-hmm. and not looking forward ahead. So when you say a weight loss New Year's resolution, if you notice the gym parking lots and the weight loss center parking lots are all full in January, and mm-hmm. I've been in this business for more than 30 years, so I know this firsthand. And then it kind of goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then in April, it picks up again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
September, it picks up again. And then it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then in January, it picks up again big time.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be the cycle every year. And as I write in my book, Healthy Living Means Living Healthy, I have a whole chapter on that. So the thing you want to do is, if you want to make a New Year's resolution to lose weight, take the number out of it. Let's say you want to lose 20 pounds or 120 pounds. It doesn't matter. Take the number out of it and decide what you need to do each day to make that your reality. And then each day you have a goal. So maybe one day I'm going to drink my water all day, or one day I'm not going to listen to other people sabotaging me. Whatever it is, whatever you feel is your biggest obstacle, start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the biggest obstacle. Conquer that, because it gets simpler as you go on.
Mm. So if we were going to do a step by step, you know, one step at a time, you know, organize it that way, what would be the very first thing to do?
Very first thing is, you really have to want it. You have to have a reason. You know, some people say it's health issues. Some people say it's, you know, looks or clothing or relationships, whatever it is. What is your reason? What is the reason behind it? For me, when I was 30, I was overweight, and I looked ahead to 50,
mm-hmm.
and I said my goal was not to live my adult life in an overweight body.
Mm.
I just didn't want to do that, because it would have affected my family. We would have done things differently. I'm not saying my relationship would have suffered. I don't know. But you just do things. Like if I went, I'm in my 60s now, but mm-hmm. if I went through all those years gaining weight rather than losing the weight I needed to lose and then managing it, my life would have been completely different.
By the way, folks, she looks in her 40s.
Oh, thank
she may
you.
Be in her 60s, but she looks 20 years younger than that.
I was just telling you, Scott, I just this year became a professional model.
That's
as
unbelievable.
Well,
yeah.
I applied for a, what do they call it, senior modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they started putting me in catalogs.
Yeah.
So fun. Lots
See,
fun.
This is an area that I just don't think I would excel. Senior modeling, not with the moles on my face.
Aww.
So, but congratulations. I hope that works out for you. And also good luck with your YouTube channel that I know you're launching.
Yes, I'm going to start doing that, bringing a whole new aspect into the wellness world, which is really dressing your body with the clothes that you wear and the jewelry that you wear.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's stay organized with the resolution. So I'm going to give you another example of what can go wrong.
Okay.
So I and it's also can be like a domino effect. So
mm-hmm.
so I this year I had some trouble with my shoulder. So I just and I swim. My workout is swimming. I go to a gym that has a pool, and I do 40 minutes in the pool, and it's great cardio.
Fantastic.
And it's very good for your upper body and legs and everything. So I've been doing that for about 2-3 years. But all of a sudden, I got this shoulder problem. Okay. And now I'm like, oh my God, my shoulder hurts and I can't swim. It hurts to swim.
Yes.
And it was already hurting because my back isn't so great either. So now I go to a doctor. And the doctor says, okay, you're going to need some cortisone shots or whatever. And he gave me a cortisone shot. But it took almost 3 months, Margaret, for me to get my shoulder straightened out. So now in that 3 month period, I wasn't swimming.
Right.
You know, I was doing whatever I could work out at home, you know, the best I could.
Right.
To keep my muscles from, you know, getting dilapidated.
Right.
But it was difficult. So sometimes it's not your fault. You know, you do want to work out and lose that weight and so on, but then all of a sudden you can't.
Right. You know, life happens, and it could happen in that way. It could happen anything. Anything can get in your way. Mm. And what I hear you say, Scott, is that even though you could not swim, you did some kind of other exercise because that was important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes.
That was important to you. So, you know, I know I work with a lot of women who go to these extreme exercises, and that's swimming. Swimming is one of the best exercises. Mm-hmm. Swimming, walking, things like that. But they do these extreme exercises, and then they get injured, and then they stop everything. So the key is think of something else that you like to do, if as you did, Scott, and that's why you're a success story sitting here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could ride the bike. You know, I could do other stuff, but it's the swimming that attracts me.
You love.
Because I sit in the jacuzzi for a while and relax, and then you swim as long as you can, and then you give up. But when I'm done and I get out of the pool, I feel good.
Yeah,
I feel
amazing.
Like, you know, my muscles are tight. I feel accomplished, like I accomplished something.
Right. Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
And you actually go into the gym, you look in the mirror, you say, hey, I look pretty hot. But when an hour later, you're just normal again. But there are so many benefits to it. So let's stay on course. What do people do wrong? What are we not doing?
I don't know that they do anything wrong. They just kind of lose their focus because, as you said, life gets in the way and anything can get in their way. Their work schedules can change. They can lose their job. They can get a new job. Anytime there's a life change, if you're not conscious and focused on your body, you're gaining weight.
Mm.
You know, people gain weight after they get married. They'll gain weight when they get divorced. Some people will lose weight because either way, if you have an unexplained weight loss or an unexplained weight gain, but you can look at something in your lifestyle that caused it, either way, it's unhealthy for you.
Yeah. I'll give a tip to the listeners and then you can follow up with multiple tips.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did to curb my excessive night eating, which is something that, you know, I think a lot of us are guilty of.
Yes.
You get the comfort from it and so on, especially on a Sunday night when you don't really want to go to work on Monday anyway. But I changed the way I eat. So it's like I'll have dinner, but my wife will only serve me half the dinner.
Yes, you told me that last time I was here.
And then I go a couple of hours, and then I eat the second half of the dinner. And now I'm up to 9 o'clock at night. If I could just get almost no snack at all and just go to sleep,
right?
You know, then I've had two nice meals during the day and that's it.
But do you see the change that you made?
Yes.
And then you realize the change that works for you. That works for you. When I was younger and had small children, I would do the same thing with my lunch. I would eat half lunch, you know, at like 12 and the other half at about 2:30 so that it would hold me off till dinner. Mm-hmm. But now that my children are grown and out and it's just the two of us, and I eat dinner at 3 o'clock now. And then I have something light at later on.
Right.
You know, but you find out, you do different things in different stages of life, but you find out what works for you. And what works for you will work as long as it does. Once you realize it's not working anymore, you need to change it again.
Right.
But this is working for you. That's a great idea.
So
Scott.
Lifestyle changes.
Lifestyle.
It's all about
your lifestyle. It's all about what's going on in your head.
So everybody's banking on Weight Watchers making a big comeback because what's her name joined it?
Oprah.
You know, is back on it.
Well, she owns, I think, 10%
whatever,
of the company.
Whatever. She's deeply involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a woman with some weight issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I get Weight Watchers and all these various services and so on. But I still say if you can't internally do it and you don't want to do it badly enough to change your life in eating habits, then it doesn't matter who you join.
Right.
You're still not going to be successful.
Exactly. And I started my career at Weight Watchers as a Weight Watchers speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started my career there. So I certainly know all their ins and outs and their changes. And I haven't been there. Oh my goodness, it's 16 years now I'm out of there.
Yeah.
And I was there for 17 years. I'm giving my age away here today.
Yeah.
But, most of the people that sit in those centers are just sitting in the centers. Mm. It's sad.
Yeah.
It really is sad. They're paying their, but I guess they're getting something out of it if they're just sitting in the centers.
Well, I mean, at least they're not near the refrigerator.
They're not near the refrigerator, and it's working for them. Mm. But you're right. It has to be, you know, there's no one thing that fits everybody. Mm. You want to be healthy. You want to feel good. And, you know, when you're taking care of yourself, regardless of your weight, you may be, like you said, you're not at the weight you want to be. Mm. Most people are not, to be honest. But you feel good about it. Everything benefits. Your jobs benefit. Your relationships benefit. Your friendships benefit. And when you're eating well, you feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And that just keeps building on itself so that you look for food that makes you feel better rather than looking for the food that drags you down, like processed food, sugar, you know, items like that.
Mm. I drink too much diet soda. And you might as well kill me now. You know, because I'm drinking a couple of those big bottles of diet soda every week.
Mm.
You know, I mean, how bad is that?
That's not good. It's really not good. That could be your next change.
Is it worse than, is it as bad as sugared soda?
I'm going to say yes.
And how does that work? Because I know sugar is what they try to avoid. So it's not sugar.
Well, diet soda is artificially sweetened. Mm. So your body doesn't know the difference between artificial and sweetener. Mm. So are you consuming less calories? The answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. But is your body reacting the same as it would to a sugar soda? The answer would also be yes. Mm. So it changes your insulin level. There are studies out. I haven't read it in a long time, this study, but I used to read up on this a lot. There were studies that said that the push for diet sodas has led to so many people being insulin resistant later in their life. So, you know, of course, I'm sure there are people who will, like the diet soda industry, who would say that's not true. But why? Why take the chance?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's less calories, but I also thought I was, you know, because I have diabetes in the family. Mm-hmm. So I know too much sugar can make that worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my dad had diabetes and my sister has it. Mm-hmm. So thank God I do not have it
far. And the weight loss helps with that as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was another reason.
That's total. If it's type 2 diabetes, it's total lifestyle.
Yeah. So I think that's a problem with diet soda, because I think what people are doing is they're leaving regular soda and they, I'm going to do diet soda from now on. So now I'm good. Yeah. But they're not good.
It's really not.
No, it's not really good. Okay. Yeah. Any other really big food faux pas people shouldn't eat, you know, like we all think is okay, but it's really not okay?
Well, nobody should think this is okay, but processed foods. Mm. Processed foods should be out. You should be eating as close to natural as you can.
Give an example.
Go through the grocery store or BJ's and look in their frozen food section, all those frozen items that people buy, you know, prepared. Prepared potatoes, things like that. You know, you eat as close, like you would rather eat a baked potato than a French fry. Mm-hmm. Not saying that you can't have French fries, but as a general rule, you want to eat as close to natural as you can. Mm-hmm. You may want to have a piece of beef rather than a frankfurter. You know, you may want to have a turkey sandwich rather than a salami sandwich.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we have to be careful what we're eating. We have to be careful how much we're
eating.
We have to be careful when we eat. Right, because my wife's always killing me because I eat late at night too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't help.
It's not so great, and it's not so great for sleeping. But here's the thing: it depends what you're eating late at night. If somebody's going into their refrigerator and eating a half a pizza or a few slices of pizza that are left over, that's not good.
Well, that's the old Scott. The old Scott would have done that.
Really?
Yes.
Good
yes.
for you. But if you're eating a healthy snack late at night, it helps you sleep better.
I mean, lately I've turned to vegetarian soup. As a snack.
Really?
Like Campbell's vegetarian vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 90 calories, I think, or 180 calories once you put the water in.
And
that's not a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a lot of carbs and fat. You know, it's a pretty decent thing to do.
Good.
So that's
a great snack.
That's my next thing is to get more of those soup cans and try to stay away from all the fattening food I used to eat. I mean, you could turn me, if there's a pizza pie left in our refrigerator, forget about it.
But
now I've really changed, Margaret. And this is the good news. I'm anti-carb. You know, when I go out to dinner, I won't even eat a piece of bread.
See, so the more you get used to that, the more you live in your change, the more that change becomes you.
Yeah.
So it's you know, you got to start it continue it so that it becomes who you are and no longer what you're doing. Mm. So when you first started that, Scott, it was what you were doing.
Yeah.
Now what I hear you saying, it's who you are.
Yeah.
That's when it's lasting.
And it's also, I'm annoying other people now too. Because like, well, Scott's not eating bread, you know, and he's not eating dessert, you know, so that they're like, well, don't even want to eat with me, you know, because I'm not interesting anymore. Yeah. I'm not the pig out artist that I used to be.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Really forget it. Because eating is an intimate thing. It's you and your food. Mm. And nobody should ever tell you what you should or shouldn't eat.
Yeah, well, don't get between me and my food.
That's right.
All right. So you're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We have with us today the amazing Margaret Marshall, who is the author of Healthy Living Means Living Healthy. And give us all the books.
Oh, my first book is Body, Mind, and Mouth.
Right.
And the second one is Healthy Living Means Living Healthy. And you can get them both on Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. Where else would you go?
They're in the libraries. They're in the bookstores. If they're not, they will order them for you.
Okay. And her name is Margaret Marshall. You can look her up as an author, too.
Yes.
Indeed. All right. We got another segment coming up. We got a news break we're about to hear. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Roll away.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. I wanted to thank Mike Bittleman for being our producer and for that great voiceover that you do for me. It's really impressive, and it sounds so energetic. And we appreciate all the work you do for us, Mike. And here we are on our first maiden show of 2020. And who did I pick to be my guest? Margaret Marshall, the logical person to have, because not only is she a great guest, but she understands New Year's resolutions and how to keep them. And that's really the focus of, I mean, we're talking a little bit about everything, but mostly people complain about weight and they complain about their jobs. Those are the two big areas.
And money, right?
And money, yes. Mm-hmm. Making more money, but that's job related. So, mm-hmm.
Right.
What I want to do, Margaret, I know you have some questions that we're supposed to ask ourselves from your book.
Yes.
So take over.
In the book, I have a chapter titled, January is the Month for Personal Renewal. So it's all about renewal for yourself. But to keep it going through January and into the year, I have a few questions that I ask you in the book to ask yourself.
Okay.
So we'll start with, just go down the list, right? The first question I have here is, what exactly do I want to accomplish? So before you make your New Year's resolution or your renewal, think about what the end result is. What is it exactly? You really have to say what it is. It can't just be losing weight, or, you know, it has to be something specific. Maybe losing weight to lower my cholesterol, losing weight for type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is, make it specific. Okay. And then my second question is, how will I stay focused on me? Hmm. And that goes back to, Scott, what we were talking about before about your swimming and your exercise, because life gets in the way. So how do you stay focused on you? Hmm. You know, think about it. What is it going to take for me to stay focused on me? And one of the things I believe is it's self-perseverance and self-love. You have to know that you're worth it. You have to know you're worth the effort it's going to take. And as I mentioned before, Scott, you start something and it's what you're doing. In time, if you allow it, it becomes who you are.
Yeah.
And then that habit has changed.
Speaking of habits, that's what I was about to get to.
Go ahead.
Is making it a habit.
Right.
And so now going to the gym is a habit.
Right.
And once I make something a habit, then I don't resist.
It's who you are.
It's part of my deal now.
It's who you are.
So I go to the dry cleaners on Saturday. I do my shopping on here. I do this. And I go to the gym on Sunday. So that's the life. That's the new life. And that is helpful.
Yes, it certainly is. So let me ask you something, Scott. And I don't know the answer to this for you. Do you tell people all the time that you go to the gym?
Anyone that asks me.
But in conversation, do you say, I went to the gym today. I'm going to the gym tomorrow. I have to go to the gym the next day.
Not as much as others. No.
No, right?
No.
Because it's who you are. Mm. People who say, I'm not eating carbs today. Oh, I'm going to the gym today. I'm going to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to be. It's what they're doing. Mm. It hasn't become yet who they are, but it has to be what you're doing first.
Right. Gotcha.
You know?
Right.
So like you said, you don't tell people I'm going to the dry cleaner.
Right.
You don't have to tell people all the time I'm going to the gym. If it comes up in conversation, it's something. I walk every morning. I do exercises at home, but I also walk every morning.
Right.
But unless it comes up in conversation, I don't need to say that to anybody.
I hear you.
Because I've been doing that for over 30 years.
Yeah.
It's who I am.
Before my doggie passed away, I walked her every morning.
See?
And I missed that. And I'll be doing that again in a year or so.
Okay.
In a year or so. But meanwhile, I don't know if I announced this to the listeners, I'm going to be a grandpa.
You told me.
I know. April 30th is the big day.
House.
And we can't wait for that. And that'll keep me busy.
You'll have a stroller to take for a walk.
Oh, $1,200? Anybody can have a stroller. You see the prices of some of these baby things? But, you know, having a baby today is more expensive than you can possibly imagine, Margaret. My son sent me a registry
of
all the things that he needs. Well, doesn't need this minute, but eventually we'll need. And it's thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable. You know, a dresser is $800. Mm-hmm. A stroller, $1,200. Then you get the car seats and all that other. I mean, it just starts adding up.
Yeah.
So you got to have money to have a baby. And my accountant used to say, babies bring money. So
really,
maybe he's right.
There you go.
So you continue with your questions.
Okay. So the next question you should ask yourself is, what kind of support do I need? What kind? Do you need somebody who's going to be an exercise buddy? Do you need somebody that's going to help give you, you know, good recipes or just talk to every day? What kind? It's not even yet. Who do you need? It's what kind of support. We all know our downfalls. We all know our weak spots. So think about your weak spot and say, what kind of support do I need for that weak spot?
Okay.
And then you can go into who can help me? Mm. Who can be that support? Mm. Because you know other people's strengths and weaknesses. So you're not going to turn to somebody who you know has the same weakness as you. You want to turn to somebody who you can emulate and say, you know, this person, if it's exercising, this person I know. I'll give you an example. In my neighborhood, I walk every morning, and I've done it for over 30 years. And when I first started exercising, I had to think, what do I like to do? I don't like to exercise. Mm. What do I like to do? And the answer was, you know, before I had a car license when I was young, I walked everywhere. Mm-hmm. So why not do that? Mm. So some of my neighbors would get used to seeing me walk in the morning and they'd say, oh, Margaret, can I walk with you? Mm. And I'd say, okay, sure. But this is the time I leave. When I walk by your house, if you're not on your driveway, I'm going to keep going.
Sounds like the scene from Forrest Gump.
It could be.
Where everyone's going to follow you.
I didn't want to get caught up to now I'm standing in front of the driveway. Their driveway. Are they coming? Are they not coming?
Right.
And you know, now I had to be out too. I mean, I had a day to. So know your conviction. Know who you can turn to, who's going to help you, and what you need the help in.
That's great. That was a great suggestion. Keep going.
Yeah. What will I tell myself when I feel defeated?
Hmm.
So you know, in my first book, I write about the messages we give ourselves, and the research I did, we have, I think it was 50,000 thoughts a day. And most of them are negative.
Mm.
So how do we not feel defeated if we have all these negative thoughts?
Mm.
So you need to change the self-talk in your head and know what you're going to tell yourself when you do feel defeated. Because I can guarantee you will feel defeated over and over and over. So you need to have something that you can say to yourself to counteract that. And what I always suggest people do is always have a different saying. You know, because you get used to hearing the same thing all the time, you're not going to listen to yourself anymore. So I always change my sayings. My newest one this lately is when I think about food, I'll think, well, this is good to eat. Well, this is better to eat. It's a better choice. So that's just my saying in the last 2 weeks. And as soon as I get tired of hearing that, I'll come up with a different one.
You said something really, really good there, the positive self-talk.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us do say and think negative things. But I think you can train yourself to have positive self-talk. Just remember that when your brain hears your mouth say, I'm fat, right?
Right.
It sets up a perception filter. So all of a sudden, it's now going to, in whatever you hear, whatever someone's telling you, all of a sudden, you're making it think like and connecting it to your weight.
Right.
You know, which is not even really connected
to. Not even true.
So your brain is very powerful. You got to be careful what your mouth says.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the positive self-talk.
And you know, I always say to people, if you start listening to your self-talk and it's negative, if you wouldn't say that to somebody else, why would you say it to yourself?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any friends if you said it to somebody else.
That's true.
So be careful of that.
Okay.
What behaviors and patterns do I need to change? Mm. You know, like I mentioned before, tackle your hardest first. You know, if you can get through that, I should say when you get through that, everything else is going to be easier. Mm. And do one at a time. You know, people, we mentioned, you know, go to these weight loss centers or start a weight loss program, whatever. And they're going to do everything at once. A lot of people can't do that. Mm. Do one thing. Tackle one thing. For you, maybe it's night eating. For somebody else, you know, maybe it's secret eating. For somebody else, you know, maybe it's eating while they're reading. I find that a lot with my clients.
Yeah.
That's a bad habit they have to break. They started in college.
Eating while they're reading.
Eating while they're reading.
Yeah, because I love to drink coffee while I read.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
A lot of my clients who are, you know, my age or a little younger say they started that habit in college and it's been with them for 30 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. Amazing,
interesting,
right?
Interesting. Bad habit. All right, keep going.
It is. Which behaviors or patterns will I not give up? Now, this is really important. You have to know what you're willing to do and what you're willing not to do. So you might have some habits that you're not willing to give up. Let's say you go out to dinner on Saturday nights and you have cheesecake every Saturday night. You're not willing to give that up. Don't give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Give it time. You know, like conquer something else first. You have to know what you're not willing to give up. Because if you're really not willing, I'm just using cheesecake as an example. If you're really not willing to give up that cheesecake and you have it every Saturday night, you're going to beat yourself up over that. And everything else is going to just, you know, fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
So know what you're not willing to give up.
I hear you.
Okay. What's one thing that I'm willing to do every day without fail?
Mm.
Know what that is. You know, for me, it's walking.
Mm.
If nothing else happens, I know I got my walk in. I was trying to do different exercises at home. Lately, I've been doing push-ups on my stairs.
Mm.
And somebody said to me, upside down? No. No, my feet are on the ground and I'm on my third or fourth step and right. I do push-ups from there. And right. I just feel so good after I do that.
Right.
And that's not organized.
Right.
I just do it sometime during the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, always know what's one thing you're willing to do every day. For me, it's exercise. For me, I get up in the morning, I plan what I'm going to wear, what and when I'm going to eat.
Hmm.
That's how important it is.
All right.
You know.
All right. Keep going.
Who will I share my success with?
Mm.
That's a really important question because you really do need someone to share your success with and someone who's going to help boost you up. Many people will sabotage you for many reasons. Maybe they don't know the reason. Maybe they do know the reason. Maybe they are not happy with themselves and they don't want to see you happy with yourself.
Mm.
You know, maybe they just don't have it in them. Maybe they're overtaxed with their own lives. So know who will support you and support that person as well or someone else. Always give back.
Right.
You know? When you're supporting someone else, you're also supporting yourself.
Yeah, and I think in this case, Margaret, a supportive spouse is really, really helpful. I mean, my wife will say, we can't make plans on Sunday because Scott goes to the gym.
There you go.
You know, and she, that's how important it is. And that's why it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's involved and she's the organizer.
Right. Now, you're very lucky.
Mm.
Not everybody has.
I know.
And a lot of people, you know, if you decide, how can I say this? If you decide to change and your family doesn't, it's very difficult, you know, because now they've lost their eating partner. So if you have the support of the spouse or support of anyone in your family, you're way ahead of anybody else, really. But if you don't have that support, you need to find out who is going to support you. And, you know, when I first started losing my weight, I didn't tell anybody. I just felt, oh, they're going to, here they go. It's Margaret's talking about losing weight again.
Mm.
You know, who wants to hear it again?
Actually, I found that when I said it on the radio, that I had to do it.
It made a difference.
Because I feel like now if I don't do it, then I'm just one of the many people we're talking to today.
Right. Right.
They can't remember the
resolution. I didn't tell anybody until I started making changes and the changes became real. And then, you know, people start to notice. They do start to notice.
All right. That's great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Keep going.
And how will I be different? And how will that manifest in my life?
Mm.
Really, you know, this is the time to be creative. How is it going to manifest in your life? If you make, we're talking about New Year's resolutions, but a New Year's resolution or a commitment to yourself or, a personal renewal, how is it going to show in your life? Really, you know, really be open with that and be creative with that and look for all the different ways that that's going to happen. And what's will happen, and I can almost guarantee this, and I'm sure you can agree with this, you don't even realize how it shows up in your life. And all of a sudden, things just start to get better. I mean, you just look at the world so much differently.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I also, when you look at yourself, when you've lost the weight and you look at yourself, that's motivation to keep the weight off because you look good.
Yes.
And you don't want to go back to not looking good.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of vanity is important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think you have to appeal to your own sense of vanity.
Right. Right. You know, Scott, when I first lost my weight, when I was 30 to 31, 32, whatever it was back then, I started at 30. It was all vanity. Mm. There was no question about it. It was all vanity. And I did not want to live. I mean, this was truly how I wanted it to manifest in my life. I did not want to live my adult life in an overweight body. Mm. Just did not want to do that. Now, it's all health reasons. Mm. You know, I don't take any medication, and not because I refuse, just because it's never been prescribed. I never went to a cardiologist. So I said, I'm 63 years old. I better go to a cardiologist and just have someone look at my heart. Mm. So they put me through these tests. And I'm on the train coming home one day from a speaking engagement, and a cardiologist calls me. So I think, wow, the doctor's calling me directly. Something must be serious. Mm. You know? So I get on the phone and I'm like, yes, yes. He says, I have to tell you, Margaret, I think you're healthier than I am. Mm. And I said, coming from a cardiologist, that has to be good news.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, but it's all lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, I maybe some of it is genetic. I don't know, but it's all lifestyle. I really believe it's my walking every day, your swimming, the way I choose to eat. And I'm not always so great at it. Mm. Just not. Yeah. We're all human.
I think it is genetics too. It is genetics too. On the weight it is. And if you look at my family, you know, I've got a 300-pound brother. I've got a 350-pound sister. You know, I've got a lot of heavy people in my family. Wow. So I'm surrounded by it. And they're all eaters. With them, it's all about the food. Every time we get together, it's all about the food. So I have to avoid that.
Yes.
And I've done a good job of
it. Make it about the people.
Yes. Let's get through these because I want to ask you about stress before we get off the air.
Go ahead. Ask me about stress. That was my last question.
Okay, good. So, Margaret, one of the things people want to do is have less stress. I mean, if there's a resolution that's even close to losing weight and being healthier and more fit, I think the next one, statistically, would be, can I have less stress?
Right.
What can I do? What actions can I take to have less stress?
The answer is no. You can't have less stress. Mm. Life is stress. Mm. If you're stressed, you're alive. That's how we prove we're alive. Mm. The thing is, how do I want to manage that stress?
Right.
That's the whole thing. And you know when you feel tense or you feel really stressed and somebody says to you, oh, take a deep breath, right? And you want to kick them?
Mm.
But that's the best thing to do. Mm. That's the first thing to do. If you can take a deep, really deep breath, hold it.
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. But right. People don't even want to do that. That's right. Perfect. But right. Just take that deep breath. It calms every system in your body down. Mm. Then you want to stay away from toxic situations if you can. Sometimes you can't because it's family or work related. Mm. But stay away from toxic situations. Again, talk to other people. You know, sometimes the stress is your perception of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we roll that around in our head so much and it makes it worse. So talk to other people about the situation and you'll get a different perspective. Mm. You may buy into that too and say, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
You know, take a walk. The best stress reduction, I believe, is to eat healthy.
Mm.
I just believe that. It just makes you healthier. If you turn to poor food like cake and cookies and ice cream and things like that, when you're stressed, it only makes the stress worse.
It's interesting how they're kind of wrapped together.
Yes. Do you know stressed spelt backwards is desserts?
Desserts, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've given up on desserts. Desserts do not exist in my life anymore.
That you don't care about them.
No.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how we can do that?
You can do that.
You know, you can get the sugar out of your system. Some people take a week. Some people take 2 weeks. You may go through a little withdrawal. You may have headaches. You may get a little cranky. Mm-hmm. But once you get that sugar out of your bloodstream and out of your system, you don't have the cravings anymore. Mm-hmm. You have cravings for sugar because you eat sugar. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
All right. Well, I think by next year, when we do the show, I'm going to be off diet soda.
I hope I'm back before next year.
Well, you'll be back all year. We'll have you on as often as you like.
Okay.
Margaret, I think you should have your own show.
Every topic in that book can be a show.
All right. Now, tell us about the books and how people can reach you if they want a workshop or seminar on wellness or stress management or any of the great things.
Sure. I do a lot of conferences and I do corporate wellness programs. The best way to reach me is through just call me because I'm always around. Mm-hmm. I just recently closed down my website. I don't know why I did that. I just did. But it's my number is 516-398-1594.
Give it again.
That's my cell phone number, 516-398-1594. You can text me to that number, mm-hmm. or you can call me, or you can email me at margaret@margaretmarshallassoce.com.
margaret@margaretmarshallassoce.com.
Assoce is abbreviation for associates.
Okay, and one more time, the books.
Books, Body, Mind, and Mouth, Life's Eating Connection. And the other one is Healthy Living Means Living Healthy. You can just go on Amazon, look up Margaret Marshall Healthy Living, and everything will come up.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic.
Scott, thank you so much.
All right, yes, I want to talk to the listeners one more time now about this schedule, because we first of all, we're down an intern, so we're not going to be using an intern this semester. But if you know someone who's an intern, or you're an intern, we'd love to work on radio and think that you could do a volunteer part-time thing here, I would be interested in speaking to you. You can send your resume or just write to me at scottp118@gmail.com. We're also looking for ideas for the show. You would write to the same address, scottp118@gmail.com. We'll be happy to have you or your idea on the program. And we're going to be coming back for the next couple of weeks with, I have a couple of CEOs coming on the show to tell their story about how they got from where they were to where they are now. I think having a CEO on is very, very informative, and it also gives people insight into a company and its jobs. So that's coming up. We have a couple of CEOs planned coming up in the very near future. And again, we welcome you to 2020. And we hope it's a great year for you. We know it's going to be economically sound, at least for some portion of the year. And we hope that there are no other issues that get in the way of peace in our country. And let's hope all of that continues to go in the right direction. So I will talk to you again next week. Everybody, have a great week and happy hunting. Another time,